or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Well, currently it is 70 degrees. The winds are out of the south, gusting up to 25 miles an hour. And we have a fire weather watch until 8 p.m. tomorrow evening, April 6th. And I'm sure that's going to be extended looking at the Long Ranger forecast, which we will have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast later on in the show. Well, back to business. So we have live cattle. Live cattle, feeder cattle are down today and a little bit on the lean hogs. April live cattle, 137. June live cattle, 133.62. And August is 134.85. And October live cattle is 141.87. Feeder cattle for April is 157.07. May is 159.07. Lean hogs are for April 99.22, May 110.30, and June 116.17. So everything's kind of down in that category. Cotton is up 137. And for you, Roy, if you're listening out there, sugar is at 19 cents a pound just for you. Let's check out the live cash or the cash grain prices right now in Oklahoma. Hard red winter wheat is up $10.10 a bushel. Corn's at $7.70. It's way up. Milo's at $7.38. And soybeans are $15.43. And that's live. Or that's cash prices in Oklahoma. Well, wheat futures jumped in overnight trading after the Department of Agriculture's first crop progress report of the year show worse than expected conditions in U.S. growing areas. The winter wheat crop was 30% good and or excellent as of Sunday, historically low for this time of the year. The USDA said in its report. That's down from 53% at this time last year. Government data showed analysts polled by Rutgers were expecting 40% of the crop to earn top rating. In Kansas, the biggest producer of wheat in the United States, 32% of the crop was in good or excellent condition at the start of this week. That's down from 54% a year earlier. Little or no rain has fallen in parts of the southern plains where hard red winter wheat varieties are grown in the past 30 days. According to the National Weather Service, about 66% of Kansas, the biggest wheat producer in the United States, is facing drought conditions. Around 1.9% of the state is seeing exceptional drought, the worst possible rating. The exceptional drought is focused on in the extreme southwest Oklahoma is faring worse than that. 76% of the state facing drought, the monitor said. But 8.3% of it is seeing exceptional drought. And we're right in the middle of it right here in southwestern Oklahoma. Wheat futures are higher as Russia attacks on Ukraine continues. Ukraine has also accused Russia of war crimes after a mass grave was found there may contain as many as 300 bodies, according to media reports. Fighting continues all out through Ukraine. Russia is expected to be the world's largest exporter of wheat, while Ukraine is forecast to be the fourth largest shipper. So I don't know if any of that's going to get if all these sanctions against Russia is true. Wheat for May delivery jumped 46 cents to $10.56 and a quarter cents a bushel overnight on Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures surged 46 and a half cents to $10.84 and a quarter cents a bushel. Corn futures rose 8 and a quarter cents to $7.58 and three quarter cents a bushel. Soybean futures for May delivery gained 13.5 cents to $16.15¾ a bushel. Soy meal rose $3.80 to $458.90 a bushel a short ton. And soybean oil futures rose 0.64 cents to 72.98 cents a pound. Well, Roy texted in. He wants to know why him on the sugar. Because you're so sweet, Roy. Come on. Let's get it going on. Anyway, red flag wind warnings issued for most of West Central United States. Red flag and high wind warnings have been issued for Montana's border with Canada, south through the West Central U.S. to the Texas border with Mexico, all the way down through there. So it's headed our way. Most of it will be here. The biggest part of it will be here tomorrow and Thursday. So get ready, everybody. The wind is coming. In central and eastern South Dakota, winds today will be sustained from 25 to 35 miles an hour with gusts up to 50 miles an hour, according to the National Weather Service. Relative humidity is pegged as low as 20%. In eastern Colorado, southwestern Kansas, and the Oklahoma and Texas Panhandle, winds are forecast to gust up to 45 miles an hour this afternoon, and humidity will drop as low as 9%. Wind in parts of southern Kansas, meanwhile, will be sustained from 35 to 45 miles an hour with gusts up to 70 miles an hour. Damaging winds will blow trees and power lines, and widespread power outages are expected. And when you got a red flag warning, dude, just check your chains. When I drove over from Sarah this morning in the daylight, I was dark yesterday morning. You can see right where all these little fires are started from chains dragging. And I think over there, if I heard right, between Clinton and Weatherford yesterday, another chain was dragging. I don't know if it's the same deal. And they had three or four trucks out there on the interstate fighting those fires to keep them from spreading. And so anyway, just be careful out there. Check everything, double check everything, and everything will be cool. And as I announced yesterday, Roger Mills County is now in a full all-out burn ban, so be careful out there. Speaking of Roger Mills, I was invited to attend the Roger Mills County Fire Chiefs meeting last night, and what a great set of guys. That's all I can tell you. Carl Billy invited me up there last night. They had a speaker from the Cheyenne Arapahoe Tribe Fire Department there. Had a speaker from the Oklahoma Forestry Department. They had they was just going over their normal county business also. Mr. Brian, the county commissioner, was there also, and they were talking about all the stuff that's been happening with the Durham fire and all that. So anyway, it was great, and thanks for the food that was provided there. It was great, and all I can tell you guys, if you can find it in your heart to make some donations to the Roger Mills Fire Association, do, because they drained a lot of their emergency budget fighting the Durham fire, up to, I don't know, I'm just gonna throw it out there and be really close, up to $20,000 in fuel was burned during that thing. So if you guys find it in your heart, please make some donations for that. And when I get back from break, I'm gonna read off another list of more donations that has come in that I didn't mention yesterday. And also coming up in my third segment, Spencer Smith with the 4AG Manufacturing will be in here with the planner tip of the week. We're going to start doing the planner tip of the week for 4, 5, 6 weeks, however much he can come up with a tip. So if you're getting ready to plant corn, plant cotton, plant peanuts, Spencer will be in here to do the tip. Matter of fact, he's just walking in the studio. He's a little early. He's just going to have to wait on me. So, but we'll be right back after this. It's Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
Is being an agent for Farm Bureau Insurance similar to farming in a sense?
Oh, very much so. You know, I think you've heard me say all the time, I'm available anytime. And I think in the farming world, you're available anytime. You know, you work long hours. You don't ever know what you're going to be doing the next day. You may wake up in the morning and think, I'm going to go plow, and someone calls and says, hey, your cows are out. And insurance is that way a lot. You know, I may come to the office and think, well, today I've got to get this done, and a storm hits the night before, and your gears change, and you're taking care of your customers. Farm work is hard. You know, people talk about, you know, farming and crops and things like that. That's a gamble. You know, we do crop insurance here, and I try to help secure their assets on that part of it. So that's just another phase of what we do to try to help our farming community. I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
Red Angus offers superior marbling. One of the top breeds for marbling, yes.
If a steak has marbling, it means what?
It's going to be tender and it's going to taste good.
That's where the flavor comes. That's right. Where the tenderness comes, right?
Yes. Good steak. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Lori White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Okay, I got a couple things to tell you guys about that's happening in Beckham County and in Roger Mills County. Tomorrow, and you need to RSVP, they would really appreciate it. Tomorrow in Sayre at the Beckham County Activity Center, and also tomorrow, same times, at Roger Mills County facilities up there on the west side of town. They're going to be having a pesticide applicator CEU conference, both counties, and the time frames are the same, but one's in Roger Mills and one's in Beckham County. You will, if you attend the morning program or the afternoon program, you will get three CEUs, and you can attend both, according to what I'm reading. But Beckham County and the OSU Extension offices will be hosting two classes to offer six CEUs for producers in those counties. Each producer has the option to attend one program or both Wednesday, April 6th at the Beckham County Activity Center Fair Barn, and also at the Roger Mills Fair Barn there in Cheyenne. This is being put on by the OSU Beckham County Extension Office and the OSU Roger Mills County Extension Office. So please call those offices and set up for time. The tomorrow's will be from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. and the afternoon program will be from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. So if you need CEUs, this is a good time to get her. So get her done, as they used to say. Anyway, so after attending that deal last night, big shout out to Heath and Otis Frazier from here in Beckham County. They donated $1,000 to the Roger Mills Fire Association. So thank you very much. But man, there's a lot more donations going on towards the farmers and the ranchers up there. Cash donations, all kinds of things going on. LC Price of Price Farms donated hay and hauling. Danny Teal, hay and hauling. Larry Rauch, I hope I said that right, hay and hauling. It's R-A-U-H, so however you say that. But anyway, I got it right. It doesn't matter. Thank you, sir, for donating hay and hauling. Chuck Parr, hay. Weston Givens, hay and hauling. Clint Wilcox, hay. Janet and Everett Fairless, cash donations. Pam Martin and family cash donations towards hauling fuel donated up there at Durham. Russell Calvert, hay and hauling, Cheyenne. So anyway, there's all kinds of things going on. And again, these volunteer firefighters and their equipment, it's, you know, yes, there's some taxes going on in certain counties to help them with them, but they've been fighting a lot of fires this year already, and we're just at basically the peak of it. And who knows, if we don't get any rain soon, it might be going on for quite a while. But please donate to your local fire department. But I'm pushing for Roger Mills right now, because that was a big fire. That was a big fire up there. Also, I want to correct myself from yesterday. I said that they had caught the arsonist. That was fake news, and I apologize. They have not caught him, and they're still investigating. So I apologize from that yesterday. I was misinformed. But anyway, he has not been caught, they have not been caught. So they're still out there roaming around. And hopefully they get caught and justice will be brought up to them. But I noticed something. If you guys have your if you have the Onyx app, the Onyx Hunt map, if you'll get on there and your map comes up of our area right here in Oklahoma, it actually shows the area that was burnt and how close those two major fires from Miami and Canadian, Texas, got to the Durham fire or the Washita River complex fire. I never knew that, and I was just looking up something today, a landowner, and bam, there it is. So it just shows you how large these two fires was. The Canadian fire around Miami and Canadian was basically southwest to northeast, but it was wide. The one at Durham was narrow and had streaks through it, but the Durham fire actually burnt more acres. And there's some really good-hearted people out there that I want to mention, but they found out about last night. But Rough Creek, R-U-F-F, Creek Outfitters, they're on Facebook. They did a raffle of 100 tickets at $100 a piece for a 5-day, 4-night hunt at one of their places where they hunt white-tailed deer at. And it's all expense paid. And they raised $10,000, and they gave every bit of that to the Radon Fire Department. So my hat's off to Rough Creek Outfitters. And then if you'll get on, this is my favorite. I had to share it on my Bigfoot Hunt page. There's a Bigfoot hunt out there going up for raffle right now. And so they want to call some of the Bigfoots up there in Canadian Valley Outfitters. So anyway, if you get on there, what they're doing is they're doing a mock raffle for the Canadian River Hilton Hunting Lodge is doing a mock raffle to call one of their Bigfoots that they have on there. It's a 3-day, 2-person Bigfoot hog combination. More critters, big and small, might be added up, they said. So they're just taking auction bids, and they're going to take the money that they raise from this auction and give it to the farmers and ranchers in the Durham area that need it. So anyway, so get on their Facebook page. It's Canadian River Hilton Hunting Lodge. Or if you'll get on my Oklahoma Bigfoot Hunting page, I've passed it onto there. So get in there and up the bid. They're just having fun with it, but it's all going for a great cause. So anyway, I know I'm going to miss more people that's helped out with this deal, and there's still people. There's a truckload of hay coming in from Lubbock, Texas today, be dropped off at Delhi, and then we're going to take it on up there. And Brandon took a load up there yesterday with 2 pallets of cake. Just all kinds of good things going on with our Oklahoma people and Texas people. You're the greatest in the world. That's all I can tell you. Got another one in here. Presidio donated to the Hammond Fire Department. Post the Durham Fire, a big thank you to them. So thank you, Presidio, for donating to the Hammond Fire Department. And then I had another question on here from Will. He wants to know, Jimmy, did you hear any results from the bull sale at the Farming Expo? Yes, I did. I think they all the bulls sold good. Just a few of them was PO'd, I think. And I think the average was 31, 32, Yeah, somewhere in there. A little over, it was over 3,000, so it was a good bull sale. It was a great bull sale. They had great bulls out there. I know a bunch of people that bought bulls out there because they were waiting till the last minute to get their herd bulls, and there was some good bulls there, so they did good. So anyway, well, Spencer Smith is in the studio, and he's with the 4AG, is that right? Or AG4? Hang on, let me turn it. You got the 4 farmers in the ag business.
Yeah, hey, Jimmy. It's good to be here. Yeah, our company is 4AG.
4AG, yeah. So I said AG. So anyway, that's close. Anyway, as soon as I get back from this break, Spencer and I are going to talk about getting your planter ready for the – we got cotton coming up, peanuts coming on. There's probably corn being planted right now.
Corn's going in right now.
So anyway, we'll be right back. So it's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, April 4th. 478 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 385 brought 212. 3 at 453 brought 205. 5 at 515 brought 188. 6 at 757 brought 146. 65 at 798 brought 165. Head of heifers at 474 brought 174. At 591 brought 147. 15 at 632 brought 159.50. 4 at 676 brought 149. 10 at 706 brought 143. Butcher cows were 39 to 90. Butcher bulls brought 101 to 121. Bred cows were 1025 to 14. 25 Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
I've seen a lot of industries come and go. The ag sector is a basis for Western Oklahoma. We do ag real estate, cattle loans, crop loans, to purchase cows or to purchase stalkers for wheat or grass. We do operating loans for seasonal needs, to buy feed, purchase fertilizer, purchase seed, buy hay and feed for the winter. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hi, this is Ty Ford. I'm a local cattle rancher, and I buy my feed with Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. He's a Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, and they have been very helpful in developing a program for feeding out our butcher steers. We use his starter and finisher rations on our steers, and we have had great results and great feedback from our repeat customers.
Located on South Randall, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
72 degrees, and the winds are out of south-southwest at 15 miles an hour. Wind gust up to 21, and we are under a fire weather watch. And I just got a text in, not sure who it's from, but it says that we have a controlled burn at Foss Lake going on right now on the west side by Cheyenne Point, if anybody asks. So that is a controlled burn that you're seeing at Foss Lake if you see it. So there we go. Also, my main man, Brent, putting fool. He's a putting fool. Do you know that? he just texted in. The average of the bulls was $3,300 at the Elk City Bull Sale here at the Expo this weekend. So thanks, Brent, for texting that in. And then in the studio with me right now is Spencer Smith, and we're going to talk planter tips. We're going to do one tip a week.
Yep.
Until we run out of planters.
Until I'm on the planter, probably.
Yeah. So anyway, welcome to the show. Finally got you in the studio, and it's not costing you a penny.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Jimmy.
Yeah, no problem. And then first tell everybody who Spencer Smith is. Everybody knows you and your dad. You guys grow some of the best dry land cotton in the world, as far as I'm concerned. But anyway, tell everybody who you are.
Well, Jimmy, so I was born and raised here in Elk City. I'm a fifth generation cotton farmer. I farm with my dad, Jimmy Smith. And a few years ago, we decided to we started a business with Jake Hunter, my dad, and myself, and we call it 4Ag Manufacturing, and we started getting into the aftermarket parts of planters, like for closing wheels and gauge wheels.
Right. And, well, you, I've known your dad a long time. I didn't really know you because I was gone to Kansas that time, about when you was born, but since being involved with my wife, and you and Ridge are good buddies, and you're always finding us a good spot for a fireworks show at the July in Elk City, because you guys got a lot of land right in there. Well, it's that time of the year, and like I said earlier, corn's going in probably right now. Cotton and peanuts are coming up quicker. It'll be here before you know it. And in your expertise, what should people be – what's the tip of the week for the planter this week?
Well, let's let's make sure, you know, it's very important to spend a lot of time setting up your planter, just hooking it up. And it's also, you know, within the time that we're in, it's a good idea to hook up to it plenty in a good amount of time. So that way, if you need to order some parts in, you'll have enough time to get those parts here.
Right.
One thing I like to do is once you hook up to the planter, don't level your planter on a concrete floor. Don't level it on your gravel driveway out there. I recommend actually, you know, spend a little extra time. Try to get somebody to sit in that tractor seat, pull it through the field with no seat in it, and then have somebody walking real slow right there beside it with a level. And that way, you know, you're taking the slack out of your arms. Your down pressure is activated on your row units. And that way you can get a more accurate leveling of the bar of the planter.
Right.
And, you know, you're going to stop that tractor and just kind of repeat that process till you get it as close as possible.
Well, because when you get out and actually, whether it's no-till or cultivated, you get out there, things are different.
Things are different. And, you know, your adjustments are going to change between, like, mid-till, no-till, whether you're planting on beds. All those adjustments may change. And Jimmy, like on your planter, your shank, like on the housing where the seed goes through, there's a seed tube in there.
Yeah.
And you want to make sure that seed tube is straight up and down. So by leveling that bar, you're setting that seed tube to be perfect. And you basically want that seed tube to be straight up and down, or pitched high in the front. Or your planter, you want your planter to be pitched either level or pitched high in the front, to where when that seed comes out of that seed tube, it's not trying to loft out. You want it to just slide right into the trench.
False.
Yes.
Through there, where there are no restrictions, and
right.
You're not using gravity. Will be against you if you're if you're aimed downward, right?
Absolutely. It's kind of like a Hot Wheels car on a track, how it goes up and then out.
Yep.
You want it to just go right down the track and just go straight into that trench. Yep.
Good. Well, thanks for coming by for the tip of the week.
You bet, Jimmy.
And next week we'll have another tip of the week.
All righty. Thank you, Jimmy. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Spencer Smith, coming by. And we'll get next Tuesday right at the same time. We'll have a tip for you, and hope you enjoyed that. So, well, to continue on, as everybody knows, today is Stockman Veterinary Clinic happy hour. I'm wearing their hat. If you see me on Facebook and on online on our website, we're live there. Stockman's Veterinary Clinic is serving all farmers, ranchers, and pet owners in western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle in their newly remodeled and updated clinic at 1019 South Main, right here in Elk City. Dr. Taylor Mouse is providing all large animal services, including bovine and equine surgery, ultrasound, digital x-ray, equine dentistry, herd health, bovine embryo transfer, and AI programs, as well as all your sheep, goat, and pig veterinarian health needs. Stockman's also features pull-through unloading, a brand new hydraulic tilt chute on site for cattle, as well as a heated indoor OB and large animal surgery suite with indoor stalls and outdoor pen space for inpatient treatment. Small animal services include routine checkups, vaccinations, boarding, and indoor-outdoor runs full surgery with gas anesthesia, including C-sections and pet dental needs, and an on-site laboratory with digital x-ray. Also scheduling farm calls and providing 24-hour emergency service for all species. Call 580-225-0200 or stop by and let Dr. Taylor Mouse and her professional staff provide you for you and your animals. They do care, and it shows, and they really do care. Well, when I come back, we'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast, and I want to talk to you about some payments that you're going to be getting from the USDA here really quick. So I want you to tune in with me on that. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325 or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in High Pro Feeds. At High Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local High Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. See their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
Today in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
73 degrees, south-southwest winds at 16 miles an hour, wind gust up to 23 miles an hour. My wife will be so proud of me today. Spencer had a little throat deal going on where he was coughing, and all I had to loan him was a Young Living Essential Oils cough drop, so he took one. And you see how much better he sounded on the radio already? Anyway, thanks for coming in, Spencer. He'll be in again next Tuesday and give another planner tip of the week. So also, everybody wondering where Lacey's at. Lacey, they come up this morning. They had to do a extreme weather photo shoot with the weather people today between noon and 2, so she couldn't come on because she's out there taking pictures, and that's where it's at. Well, the Long Ranger forecast brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Today, sunny. We will be getting up to 87 degrees with southwest winds anywhere from 14 to 15 miles an hour, gusting up to 20. Tonight, the winds switch up out of the north, and it gets breezy. And I'm talking real breezy. 43 for a low tonight. Northwest winds, 12 to 29 miles an hour with gusts up to 40 miles an hour. Same thing for tomorrow on the wind out of the north-northwest with a 66 is a high tomorrow night. 39 degrees, still high winds, and again, Thursday looks like it's even going to be higher on the wind, so we got some wind. It is springtime in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle, so what can I say? Thursday night, the winds still continue. They lower just a little bit, but it's going to be 35 degrees. Friday, winds out of the north-northwest at 12 to 20 miles an hour, 66 for a high. Friday night, 35. Saturday, it's going to be beautiful. 81 degrees, wind south, 6 to 15 miles an hour. And I'm looking at those two lows for Thursday night and Friday night. You best be, just go ahead and be safe. If you already been too gung-ho and you planted your tomatoes, you better get them covered, because in low spots and certain spots, especially along creeks and rivers, it's probably going to freeze. So get them covered up. That's all I can tell you about. All right, the USDA. I want everybody to know you have to. You don't have to do anything. If you were in the emergency livestock relief program last year, you don't have to do nothing. I'm going to read this article. Please do not call your local FSA office. It's already been taken care of. They went off of what you had last year. There is a newer one coming out later on, but they will contact you. Your FSA office will contact you when they need to update some numbers and stuff. But with anticipated widespread drought and wildfire losses experienced in 2021, this is last year, the USDA announced that 100,000 livestock producers can be expecting an estimated $670 million in assistance in the early days of April, as the agency plans to send out the first phase of disaster payments under the new Emergency Livestock Relief Program. On September 30th of last year, President Joe Biden signed into law the Extending Government Funding and Delivering Emergency Assistance Act. The act included $10 billion in assistance to agriculture producers impacted by wildfires, droughts, hurricanes, winter storms, and other eligible disasters experienced in the calendar years of 2020 and 2021. Additionally, the act specifically targets $750 million to provide assistance to livestock producers for losses incurred due to the drought or wildfires in the calendar year of 2021. The ELRP is part of the FSA's implementation of the act. Farm Production and Conservation Deputy Undersecretary Gloria Green says the USDA hopes the relief can help producers manage the short grazing supplies and additional feed costs they dealt with in 2021 as well as into 2022. We're seeing the possibility of drought again occurring at the same level as the coming summer, says Green. USDA hopes that this relief will be beneficial to producers as they are making their respective businesses plans and making decisions for their livestock. Green shares, by utilizing the data from producers already known to experience forage losses through the Livestock Forage Program, the USDA is leveraging the data and more quickly able to make payments as needed to the producer. You don't have to come in and sign up for the new program for this first phase if you've already signed up under the LFP. And if you didn't sign up under that LFP last year, I'm going to take a wild guess and say that you're not going to get part of this first phase. But anyway, there's another phase coming, and you should be able to. Like I said, please don't call your FSA office and bring them up with phone calls, because it's already been taken care of and the check is in the mail or it'll be in your bank in the next few, it should be this week or early next week. So it's already taken care of. You don't have to do nothing. So anyway, that's an update on that, and good luck with everybody receiving their payment. Also, Mindy from the FSA office in Roger Mills County called me this morning. And producers in Roger Mills County, there's a producer meeting April 8th, this Friday at 10 a.m. at the Roger Mills County barn out there on the west side of town. Please attend, and this is pertaining to a lot of programs that are in the makings already. They want to discuss with you, and after that's all done with, they will be talking about the wildfire in at Durham. So a producer's meeting in Roger Mills County, April 8th at 10 a.m. You don't have to RSVP, nothing. They're all producers in Roger Mills County are urged to show up at this meeting, because there's a lot of information going to be put out this Friday at 10 a.m. So please attend if you can. Well, you know, today is Hay Day Tuesday. So let's talk a little bit about the markets and we'll see if something's changed over the last week since our drought continues in western Oklahoma and the eastern Texas Panhandle. Well, let's check out some alfalfa prices and see what's going on. It looks like it's slightly going up. Kansas, 180 to 275. 275 is delivered, and that's on premium alfalfa. 150 to 245 delivered on good alfalfa. Missouri, 160 to 250 on premium alfalfa. 120 to 160 on good alfalfa. Oklahoma, 180 to 215 delivered on premium. On good alfalfa, 160 to 170, and that's delivered. Check out Texas, 250 delivered to 330, and that's not delivered on premium, and 235 to 260 delivered on good alfalfa. Grass hay prices, according to the USDA. Let's start out with Kansas, 125 to 130 on premium, 70 to 175 delivered on good. Missouri, 140 a ton on premium, 80 to 100 on good. Oklahoma, 90 to 145 on premium, and good is $50 to $90 a ton on just your so-so hay. Texas, 180 to 330. None of those are delivered. They don't have a D by them. So anyway, premium hay, grass hay in Texas is expensive. 180 to 330 on premium. Good is 130 to 275. There's some people in a bind for some hay down there. They're going through the drought just like we are. Big part of the, especially the western part of Texas and the Texas panhandle. But I wanted to go back up here. There we go. California. Looks like they're the they got it going on. California and Washington, anywhere from 330 to 360 a ton for premium alfalfa. And on good hay, they're paying anywhere from 200 to 330 on good alfalfa hay. So you can tell the drought continues in the western part of the United States, just like it is right here. So that is your hay prices of the week. And let's see here what else we want to do here. No, here we go. As I've reported a couple times this week on the flu, the bird flu that's going around the United States right now and reported cases in Oklahoma, the United States Department of Agriculture is looking into vaccines as an option to protect poultry against the deadly bird flu. The agency's chief veterinarian officer said as the country faces its worst outbreak of bird flu since 2015, and that one was a bad one in 2015. Supporters say vaccines could help keep poultry alive, prevent financial losses, and control food costs through shots would be too late to stop the current outbreak that has wiped out 22 million chickens and turkeys so far in commercial flocks since February. 22 million chickens and turkeys. That's a lot. Previously, the United States has issued vaccines, worried that importers will ban U.S. poultry shipments because they cannot distinguish infected birds from vaccinated ones. The United States is the world's second largest poultry meat exporter, a major egg producer, with shipments reaching $4.2 billion in 2020. However, the USDA's Ag Research Service is investigating the potential for a vaccine that could be distinguished from the wild type of virus spread to poultry, the chief veterinary officer, Rosemary Sifford, said in an interview. We feel strongly that if we could develop a vaccine like that, that would have less of a trade impact. Researchers estimate that they would take at least 9 months to develop. And there's already 22 million chickens and turkeys killed in the last 2 months. Imagine how many will be dead before this vaccine, which is fine. They need to make sure the vaccine's right. Bird flu has hit poultry in Europe and Asia in addition to North America. And she said that it's working with other countries as options for vaccines. Trading has suffered as importers like China has blocked imports from more than a dozen U.S. states with outbreaks. Though vaccines could protect poultry, some producers worry that they would be cost prohibitive for chickens raised for meat because they're only alive for 5 to 7 weeks. So still, the International Poultry Council and Industrial Group represent producers worldwide, is reviewing the possibilities, said Jim Sumner, a council member and president of the U.S. Poultry and Egg Export Council. We recognize that the same extreme cases of severe outbreaks, maybe vaccination needs to be considered as an option. And I'm surprised somebody hasn't texted in yet why they don't just put masks on chickens. It worked for the United States, so why not just put some mask on there? Anyway, Mr. Valsack, the United States stands ready to provide food aid overseas if needed in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine, said Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack in a letter to grain merchandisers. At the same time, the letter closed the door to suggestions for emergency planting of crops of land enrolled in the conservation reserve, saying it would be impractical. He said it would be very impractical. While it's clear there is no significant short-term gains to be realized by opening the program to crop production, I want to emphasize that the USDA will continue to monitor the crisis in Ukraine and it's global. Mentioned the two USDA food donation program, we are providing data and agriculture expertise and standby ready to take action to mitigate these challenges. Ukraine and Russia are two of the largest wheat exporters in the world, and Ukraine is also a leading corn supplier. The invasion has driven up commodity prices, disrupt grain shipping, and prompted forecasters of higher food prices in vulnerable countries. Farm Food Processing and Retail Group suggested on March 23rd the crops would be grown up to 4.1 million acres of prime farmland in the reserve. In his reply, he said, Vilsack said that there's more than 100 million acres of prime land in the pasture range and forest land outside the reserve, quickly converting CRP land planted to vegetative cover to cropping is clearly unfeasible, even if we were to overlook the negative consequences of increased erosion, reduced water quality, wildlife habitat reduction, and decreased carbon and storage. Contracts expired on September 30th for 4 million of the 22.1 million acres now in reserve. Our data reflects that reality with higher commodity prices, producers are not re-enrolling all these acres. There's no need to step in and adjust the program when the producers themselves are making decisions based on market conditions and environmentally realities. In March, the survey, the farmers told the USDA that they plan on only a marginal increase in cropland this year, mainly because input costs have gone stupid, crazy high. The prospective plantings reported estimated that 317 million acres will be devoted to two dozen principal U.S. crops, which range from corn to wheat, soybeans to sugarcane, potatoes, and dry edible beans. Last year, there was 317.2 million acres of principal crops. So it's just 0.2 more crops, 2.2 million more crops going to be planted this year. The USDA accepted 5.3 million acres into the CRP last year and is aiming for the program's 25.5 million acre cap on enrollment this year. A general enrollment for large tracts of land ended on March 11th, and sign up for the grasslands optioned on Monday. The CRP, created in 1985 to take fragile land out of crop production and pay an annual rent to landowners who agreed to idle their land for more than 10 years at a time. So there you have it. I'm making sure I didn't miss something else. I had something else. I do. I got my report from Brandon yesterday on Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction and the Elk City Livestock Auction. Let's talk about those. Yeah, as soon as I find him. There he is. All right. And again, big thank you to Brandon Hickey for receiving hay and getting it shipped up to our Durham friends on the ranch and the farms up there. And he's still receiving it. Guys, I'm going to talk about it all week. These guys still need hay. Found out yesterday there was a gentleman way north up there past the river bend that hadn't got hay yet. So we're going to get him some hay up there tomorrow. And all's good. Well, at the Elk City Livestock Auction last Friday, there was 1,138 head. And let's check out some prices on the steer. 355-pounders were bringing 221. 405-pounders brought 225. Some one steers from Mangum, 424-pounds brought 206. 438-pounders brought 211. 482-pounders brought 197. 515-pounders brought 198, 595 weights, 174, 616-pound weights was 170 per 100 weight. And then we had some 664-pounders, steers, 162.50. On the heifer side, we have some 335-pounders brought 188, 395-pounders brought 175, 425 weights, 178, 523 weights, 173, 702 weights, 141, some 753s, 146, and some 928 weights brought $1.26 a pound. On butcher cows, my oh my, they were bringing up to $103 per 100 weight. Butcher bulls, 125. It looks like bred cows and pairs are up. They were bringing up to $1,550 on the bred cows, and the pairs were bringing $1,875. At Clinton yesterday, on the steers at the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction at Clinton, $385 on steers, bringing $212, 434 weights, $221. We had some from Mangum on the 488, brought $1.99. Some 515s brought $205. And some 798s brought $1.60 a pound. On the heifers, we had some 474 weights brought 170, 591 weights brought 146, some 605s $1.56, and some more heifers from Hammond weighing 680 brought $1.49 or 149.50 per 100 weight. And then on, they had some butcher cows there. It looks like they were bringing up to 90 cents a pound on butcher cows. Butcher bulls bringing up to 121. Looks like they had some bred cows in there, brought 1425. So today we got the Woodward Livestock is having their weekly cow and bull sale. I have some results for you tomorrow. Tomorrow, Hobart Stockyards will be having their weekly sale. And then Thursday, back to Woodward for their weekly calf sale. And then Friday, right here in Elk City, we'll be having the Elk City Livestock Auction will be having their weekly sales. And Saturday, Hollis, Oklahoma, down there in Harmon County, will be having theirs. And then again, Monday, back to Clinton, east of Clinton there on I-40, where the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction will be having their deal, their sale going on. So anyway, thank you, Spencer Smith, for coming in from 4AG, 4 Ag Manufacturing, giving you guys some planter tips. What to get ready for. And again, thank you to everybody that has donated and in process. We have more hay going up there, more hay on the way, more cake on the way. The United Methodist Church at Willow bought 2 pallets of cake down in Mangum. We're going to try to get down there tomorrow and get that picked up and get delivered up to the drop-off points. If you got any questions on drop-offs up there, Robin Taylor at the Hitching Post and Jennifer York there in Durham. That's on Facebook. Look them up on the Hitching Post or Jennifer York and get in contact with them. They still need donations, guys. They burn everything, and we're in a drought. And I know hay's tight because we're all in a drought, but they're burned up. Now they don't even have anything to eat but burnt leaves up there. So we need to help them out all we can. And again, I can't push this enough. If you can find it in your heart to help out the local fire departments of your choice, it doesn't have to necessarily be in Roger Mills County, but I can tell you there was a bunch of great guys at that fire chief's meeting last night, and they would dearly appreciate the help that you guys could provide them, if you can, with a donation-wise to the fire departments. And I'm still working on this airplane deal and helicopter deal. I'm stirring it up. I'm going to tell you that right now. I want to stir it up. There's no reason why we can't get support from our state government to come out here and help. I know it costs money, but I can also point out to you a lot of places they're blowing money that doesn't need to be blown. And the importance of the ranchers and farmers and oil companies for protecting their locations, because they get that tax off of them oil companies, and they won't be getting any tax money if them locations are burned up. So, I mean, you look at it however you want. But anyway, I'm going to keep stirring that fire up. So, anyway, you guys have a great day. It's the Day in Ag on 96.5 KECO. I'm Jimmy Clark, and God bless.
This is KECO, Elk City.